I never told no one that. My whole life I've been holding back. Every time I load my gun up so I can shoot for the stars, I hear a voice like, who do you think you
are? All right, another day, another dollar, another one of my favorite episodes. It's, of course, I'm being biased. It's my own podcast. I've got with me, I would have to say you're one of my youngest guests. I've had younger, but you're definitely, you're paid a lot more than my youngest guests. So, Danny, it's Sillinger, right?
Yeah, Sillinger.
Oh, Sillinger, Sillinger. Bro, you're from South Florida. Or you live in South Florida now, so it's okay to butcher your name. Danny Sillinger, a.k.a. Coolness, 21-year-old social media entrepreneur, dropped out of college with a 4.0 GPA. You know, his mom gave him shit about that. Played beach volleyball professionally for 2 years and competed at a D1 level in college before leaving that behind to pursue his career in social media. Since then, he has amassed over 1.5 million followers on Instagram and is now the VP of an 8-figure social media agency or an empire, brother. How's it going?
Dude, it's going awesome, man. Pleasure to be here, Omar. Thanks for the intro.
Dude, you're only 21. I figure you're like 23, 24.
Yeah, I just turned 21 back in September, so I was 20 when first moved down to Florida. It's been a ride for sure.
You're originally from Long Island, right?
I'm originally from Syracuse, New York. So upstate, went to school in Long Island for a couple of years before leaving and coming here.
Syracuse, dude. So I got a little secret to tell you. That was my dream school for like the longest time, to go to Syracuse. And, you know, I wasn't the most studious. And then when I applied, I got that little, you're too young to remember this. Back in the day, they'd either give you a big packet, that's the packet you wanted, or the little form letter. And I got the form letter. And to that very day, man, there's two teams I cheer against, Syracuse and Alabama.
I got you, man. Well, honestly, I feel like you dodged a bullet there. I get nothing but bad reviews from people from Florida that come up to Syracuse and see the weather in the winter, and they leave after the first year. So,
One of my employees, he did that. He had a transfer after 1 year back to, and he went to the University of Miami, graduated and all that. But I remember he's a high school senior. He's like, I got accepted. I'm going to Syracuse. And I was hating life. I was bitter for a second. And then months later, he's like, can I get my old job back? It sucks, man. There's nothing cool about it. Yeah. So there you go, man.
Yeah, it's not a bad place to grow up, but I don't consider it a tourist attraction at all either. So.
No, dude, it's hard to get a flight, man. It's not exactly, you know, the Mecca. When people think of the NY, they think of the NYC. They don't think of the Qs by any means.
Yeah, maybe we'll put it on the map, though. We'll see.
Bro, so is that why you chose to play and to go to college, Long Island, because of the proximity to New York City?
I got a scholarship there for volleyball. So I wasn't going to go to college at all in the first place. I know you'd said in the intro that my mom probably gave me shit about dropping out of school. I got most of the shit from my parents when I told them I wasn't going to school at all in the beginning. So I wasn't going to go, took a quote unquote gap year, and then got like a really big scholarship to go play volleyball at LIU. So I took that, figured I'd be missing out if I didn't do it. And then.
Well, dude, the way things are going, there's two things they're going to have. There's two things to come out of LIU, Lamar Odom and you.
Yeah. Well, dude, I hope to be at that level one day and maybe even surpass him. So I definitely appreciate that.
I think everybody surpassed him. I think he's broke. So, but dude, it's easier to, anybody can make the money. It's all about keeping it and multiplying it. Hey, dude, look at me. An idiot like me made plenty of money. Now keeping it, that was a different story. So, dude, and trust me, I get it, because I didn't want to go to school, except for my assistant principal said it'd be a cold day in hell the day I graduated. And my mom would always push me. She was always like, Omar, you don't like manual labor. And between that and academia is a business. My guidance counselors always were like, you know, making it look like I'd be sucking dick and living under a bridge if I never went to college. So, you know, that put the fear in me. I know now, no labels, and it's okay to do that, you know, for guys. But back then when I was growing up, man, that was like the scariest thing I ever heard. So that got me into college.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I remember like, cause I dropped out less than a year ago. It was May of 2023. I remember sitting across the table from my counselor. It was like the most liberating feeling ever, just leaving it and not really having to answer to somebody that I didn't respect. But I remember looking at the lady and she was like, I said, I'm not going to need any classes next year. She go, what happened? You're going to go to another school? I said, no. She go, you're going to like take a year off and come back. I was like, No, I'm actually leaving, dropping out, not doing school anymore. And she was like, she leans in and she's like, oh, you're making a big mistake, man. And I was thinking to myself, this is a counselor at a low level university. I can't imagine I'm making much less than this lady is right now. I was already doing pretty well for myself when I was in school. So it's just an interesting feeling just hearing that from somebody that's not in a position where you want to be in, you know?
Well, she's trained, man. That's yeah. Her livelihood. If there's,
wasn't very good at sales.
If there's most Dannys out there that said, fuck this, I'm leaving, she'd be out of a job. Of course she's going to be like, dude, you're going to regret it. Yeah. Statistics will tell you there's baristas out there with degrees from Harvard, man. It's a person, how they sell themselves, their hustle, their drive. That's stuff that, you know, you can't quantify by going to any university. Dude, there's billionaires that dropped out of high school. Are we supposed to tell them they're frigging idiots? Because they don't have a GED or because, you know, I mean, these are people that can buy their own university and creating jobs and shit, dude, like Richard Branson. But yet, you know, we're like, oh, my God, if you drop out. So but what got you to that point that you're like, because, dude, you're an athlete. Athletes have it made. I don't care what sport. It's way easier. You know, you have a harem of chicks. You've got the free food. You got the notoriety, you got your friends. What was that deep down inside that said, hey man, it's not really serving me?
Yeah. I mean, to be honest, I didn't really want to be there in the first place. Like it was kind of like, oh, I'm just going to go try this out. And I've always been the type of person where if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. So I had like the 4.0s there. We accomplished everything we really needed to do. We were an entry level D1 program. So like we weren't that good in the scope of like D1. We got the chance to go play against Hawaii, the national champions. We played against Long Beach State, like number two team in the country. We actually took a set off of Hawaii. And for anybody that's listening that knows like sports betting odds, our odds to win a set were plus 20,000 and we won a set. So it was like a pretty big accomplishment. I was on the court for that. I was freshman All-American my first year as a libero in defense. And I felt like the itch was scratched. I felt like I did what I needed to do. And now the itch was somewhere else to be scratched. I needed to leave and pursue entrepreneurship.
Now, Danny, your gap year. Now, how did you talk your parents into letting you take a year? I mean, they sound like, you know, they were adamant Danny was going to go to college. Danny was going to get his MBA, hopefully one day, you know, get a job at that S&P 500 company, that corner office somewhere, maybe in Buffalo, maybe definitely in Syracuse, maybe in New York City.
Yeah, well, I mean, honestly, like I'll preface by saying like my parents are two of the most supportive people ever. Like, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at right now and like able to take the risk that I am if it wasn't for them. Like my mom, she's my number one. Like I know she'll always support me with whatever I do. She trained me to be this way. So there's no other way to go about it. But I had it easy a little bit because I graduated high school during COVID. So like I didn't have a graduation. It was 2020. And I actually had another scholarship to play at a D3 school called Keuka College. It was like an hour away from home. I was going to be the captain as a freshman. Like I was kind of just going so I could like dominate the team and like, you know, just do my school or whatever. About a month before I was supposed to leave to go to school, I get a call and they say, you know, COVID's happening. We're cutting programs. Volleyball is one of them. Like you don't have a scholarship anymore. Like we'd still love for you to come here, but there's no sport for you now. And it was like August. It was way too late to go pick other schools and stuff like that. I figured I was making a rush decision. So I was kind of just like, okay, like I'm just not going to go. I'm not going to do it. It wasn't meant to happen. So I pretty much told them I was just taking a gap year when in reality I wasn't planning on going at all. And then I had played in a beach tournament at the pro level at age 18. And I'd got discovered by the Long Island University coach. They're starting a new program. It was D1. He was like, hey, like you look young. Like, are you going to college? And I was like, no, I'm not planning on going to school at all. And he's like, well, dude, I'd love to have you come out to New York, show you the facilities, like let you at least see what you'd be missing out on. I was like, sure, I'll take it. You know, you go to New York, get wined and dined, get offered a scholarship. And then I was like, dude, I feel like I'd be a fool to not go test this out. So that's what got me in there in the first place. I was never like fully into it, but it was fun while I was there for sure.
Now, were your parents entrepreneurs?
Like, no, my mom.
Where'd you get this spirit from?
No, my mom's an accountant and my dad's an engineer. So honestly, like the opposite of entrepreneurs, but I got the spirit in that gap year. So if you were to ask me in 2020, right when I was getting out of high school, I would have told you I was just going to go to college and get like whatever job in like finance or something. Didn't really know what I wanted to do. The interest got sparked actually from doing DoorDash. I started a DoorDash account during COVID and I would just drive around. And that was my first kind of taste of like, you make as much as you work. So if I wanted to work 1 hour, I can make $20. If I wanted to work from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. in my car delivering food, I could make a lot more than that. And you stack that up in terms of like week over week over week. I was bringing in like $1,500 a week at 18, just DoorDashing. And that was around the time that crypto was really low and it was about a boom in 2020 and 2021. I'd invested into a bunch of Ethereum at $200 a coin with the money I was making from DoorDash. So I just watched myself make like 30, 40,000 over the course of like a couple months from literally just DoorDashing and throwing my money into Robinhood. So it was like really cool to see that. And I was hooked ever since. Obviously it wasn't that easy, like moving forward, that was probably the easiest it's ever been, but that's what got me hooked. There's no going back after that.
Dude, talk about timing, man. Because when I invested in Ethereum and now I had people telling me to do it. It was already like at 2,500, but congratulations, man. On that, dude, most people would have taken that money and pissed it away, would have been waking and baking with it, would have been drinking, would have been partying, 100% just out that door.
Oh, I pissed it away, but not that way.
No, dude, but literally you were investing in your future.
Yeah, I mean, dude, I would literally just go on YouTube. There'd be some old dudes talking about which cryptos to invest in. I didn't know any better. And this one guy that I watched, I forget his name, but he was just like, dude, you have to get Ethereum. And I was a very malleable brain. I was like, this old guy says that I have to get Ethereum, so I must have to get it at 200 a coin. You look down in a couple months, it's at 2,700. I was like, wow, that was pretty cool.
Well, good thing you weren't listening to the people that said the Dogecoin and Shibu like went,
dude, that's another story. I've had my whole net worth in GameStop at one point.
When really?
I took all the money from Ethereum and put it all into GameStop during the frenzy and doubled it.
Dude, yeah. you have like the horseshoe stuck up your ass, man. Because everything about you is the improbable becoming the probable, man.
Oh, the winning in investing certainly ended right there, at least for a little while. When I went to college, I thought that like that was kind of just the norm. Like you invest in whatever and it just goes up and, you know, I'm a genius. I'm telling my friends and stuff what to invest in. And that's when you start to lose right there. I lost a ton in NFTs, a ton in options trading. By the way, it's just because I literally didn't know what I was doing. Like even when I was investing in Ethereum and GameStop, I had no freaking idea what I was doing. I was just getting lucky and thought I was good. Invested in a bunch of NFTs, invested in a bunch of like options plays at like thousands of dollars. Like I'd be in math class in college, just invested in options plays on the Robinhood on my computer. There's one math class I lost $4,000 in. I think it was like 10:30 a.m. My professor was talking about math and he was like asking me to pay attention. I was like, dog, I just lost 4,000. Like, I don't want to hear what you're saying.
Dude, with options, always go with covered calls. If it goes up, you still make a profit. Worst case, you keep on getting dividends. But I was like that. I was buying calls left and right, and I amassed a big fortune. Now, I pretty much stay clear of buying calls because one time, it was like when Wynn was just blowing up, and I put like a $12,000 option, bought $12,000 worth, and then like overnight, it just cratered, and I was like, that sucked.
It happens to the best of us.
Yeah, exactly, dude. So now Long Island, what were you doing? Dude, you didn't have enough time in the day to make money, right? Because pretty much as an athlete and as a student, you're going full time, both playing and school, right?
Yeah. It was definitely a lot, but I managed it. I still ran like a boutique agency that I had at the time because we were fortunate enough. And I know some people listen to this won't say it's fortunate, but I think we were fortunate enough to have practice at 4:30 in the morning. It was from 4:30 to 8 every single morning. So it was up at 4 in the gym at 4:30. Practice was out of the way. That was like a 3-4 hour time block that was just gone by 8 a.m. So then you could kind of go to the calf, get your classes out of the way early. And then I'd be working from pretty much like 2 to 7 p.m. And then I was knocked out by like 8:30 most nights. Like most of my teammates would get out of practice, sleep most of the day away. I'd go to bed early and work on my agency, and which ended up merging with EDST, the company I'm a VP of now. And dude, honestly worked out pretty well.
Well, what's crazy is people always lie to themselves, dude. And I don't have enough time in the day to, if you make it a must, you said it right there. Plenty of people can get their asses up at 5 a.m. to work out. Oh, I don't have enough money to invest. Dude, there's 24 hours instead of screaming bullshit and instead of cyber stalking your exes and all that, you know, you can create a side hustle. Dude, you can work for Postmates, Uber. Oh, but I don't want anybody to see me. When you go cash that check, the banks and Chase isn't going to be like, oh, man, you made this money off a side hustle.
No, dude, it's ridiculous. I mean, the amount of excuses that are out there are really, they're really running rampant. It almost leads to the point of like, you can't talk to that many people, because the average person, the majority of people are always going to be making those excuses. Like, oh, like I can't do this because of X, Y, Z. Oh, you know, I don't want to trade options. I don't want to invest in stocks because it's risky. Oh, I don't want to do this because it's risky. I think the biggest risk is no risk at all. Like if you don't take any risk and you just conform to whatever society tells you they have to do, you know, you go to college, you get your degree, you get your job at 60K, you're paying off your $250,000 debt that you incurred from college. I mean, I think that's a major risk, because you don't get to see any actual success or freedom until you're 40 at a minimum. You're paying off that debt and not even doing something you love. I think that's the biggest risk.
Dude, and it's not inflation. When I went to school, here's a perfect example. Out-of-state tuition. Now, I didn't graduate in 1950 or anything crazy like that. Out-of-state tuition, LSU, $9,000. Everything included a year.
Wow.
$1,000 if you're in-state, and they raised tuition $1,100. All the in-staters are losing as poor. Oh, my God, we're going to go broke playing that extra $100 a year. Now, fast forward, my oldest kid's a senior. Mom and dad, my ex-wife, entrepreneurs, but somehow, you know, the ex wants her to go to college, wants to go to LSU like her dad. And it's like $47,000 a year. But dude, the crazy part, we went to one of those college fairs and some no-name private school person's like, oh, well, to this school, it's only $75,000 a year, but don't worry. It's easy to get loans and financial aid. And it's like, talk about, unless you're like, you find a cure for cancer, dude, you're like in debt up the ass forever. Well,
I think it's literally the worst investment by far, like right now, as opposed to when it was even like 30 years ago, because 30 years ago or 40 years ago, not everyone had the degree. So the degree was like more prestigious because less people had it. And it was, like you were saying, significantly less. Now the tables have turned ridiculously. It's a stupid amount to be a part of it. And everybody has a degree. Like there were multiple occasions when I was in school and I'm looking at the guy next to me. And this dude is, it's just, I don't know what kind of stuff I can say on here, but like.
You can say whatever you want. You're in a safe place.
I'll put it this way. At our basketball celebration, we do like the March Madness. This guy, he's on the ground twerking in front of everybody. And he's wearing, you know, like whatever kind of outfits. This guy's on the ground twerking in front of the whole school. I look next to him in my finance class and I'm thinking, this guy's going to get the same exact degree that I'm going to get if I finish this out. Like, what's the value of having, we're both going to have the same piece of paper. So why don't I just leave and actually make something of myself? Because why not? This guy's going to have the same thing as me.
Dude, I'll tell you when I realized it was all a fucking scam. Degree in journalism. I got a second degree, a master's in journalism, because my mom lied to me to come back home and said it was going to be a lot of fun. It's not, dude. Postgraduate's all bullshit. But I'm sitting at my first job with a bunch of other LSU grads in journalism. And, you know, everybody else had their debt. Mom worked two jobs to provide, so I didn't have that debt. And we were crying because there was people with the same fucking job with like only a high school or, and to this day, dude, nobody's ever asked me for my college transcripts. And yes, there was a gap 20 years of being a business owner, but there was plenty before, after, nobody's ever asked. shit, I could just put on my resume. I went to Utica. Nope, nobody's gonna fucking call Utica up and say, hey, did Omar Vedrano graduate from your school? Dude, it's a fucking scam, man. All people go to college for, it's just like normal school, is can you put up with bullshit?
Yeah.
Can you show up on time? Can you do busy work? Can you sit the fuck down there because we tell you to sit down? Here's your rules and congratulations. You have a degree means you can put up with a lot of bullshit. That's all it means. The only thing I got out of college was how to talk to women, how to sell myself to women, and how to drink hard liquor. Because in case you hadn't noticed, in South Florida, dude, everybody drinks like pussy drinks, man. grown-ass men all built and all that, drinking pina coladas and trying to be an alpha man. It's like, nah, dude. Anywhere else in the country, you'd get your ass kicked for drinking that.
I guess other than New York City, it was a lot of the dudes were drinking the claws, the white claws, were the drinking.
Yeah,
exactly,
dude. But that's also new generation, man, because we had that shit back then, and it was only for chicks. It was only for chicks or dudes that eventually would come out of something. So the only thing you miss is what? Volleyball?
I miss volleyball a little bit, and I miss having like the friend group. You know what I mean? Like there were friends that I had that weren't connected to business in one way or another, and it was a way to kind of decompress. Like I love my boys from school. Like they're the best. I still keep in touch with a lot of them to this day. And I miss the volleyball here and there too. Like the guys, they just started their season this year. They went and played Long Beach again. They're the number one team this year in California. And you see the trips and it's like, yeah, you know, I wish I was there. But to me, it's just not worth the 4 a.m. wake ups every day to do something I don't want to do, to follow it up by classes that I don't want to be in, feel like I'm losing brain cells as opposed to learning, because I've always been a big like proponent that I can learn more in the books that I choose to read that are in the business section or the personal development section than the textbook that they give you that you have to pay $300 for to be a part of a class that you pay $200 a day to be a part of. So I don't regret it at all. I know I made the right choice, but I do miss the boys a little bit.
Danny, beach volleyball, right? You're awesome at it. Dude, you weren't in the LBC. You weren't in South Florida. You weren't anywhere near remotely a beach. How did you get interested and so good at beach volleyball?
Dude, I mean, I joined volleyball in the first place so I could so I could get some brownie points on the baseball team. I'm not going to lie. Like my coach for baseball, the varsity coach for baseball, was also the varsity coach for volleyball. So he was like, hey, Dan, like you want to join the volleyball team and try it out in the fall of next year? I was like, okay, dude, sure. I don't play a sport in the fall. Like I'll try it out. Tested it out. I was like, I was okay at it. I was like, sure. Like I'll do a season. Kind of just like meandered through it the first couple of years. But volleyball in New York, if you are remotely good at it or like kind of good at it, you are like a superstar in the area. Like I wasn't even that good at volleyball. There are plenty of people that I know and stay in touch with that are way better than me at the sport. But just for the fact that we were in Central New York, I was one of the best players there. So it kind of gave me that confidence and almost like, oh, dude, like I thought I was like really, really good at the time before I met players from California, Florida, and like in the warmer states. So I always thought I could hang, and I always liked being the underdog. So I just kind of play with that dog in me and, you know, hope for the best and actually refine the skills over time. Learned a lot in college too, though.
I can't tell from your social media. Baseball, volleyball. You're what, like 6'3", 6'4"?
6 foot.
Only?
Yeah. Oh, dude, I was a midget compared to my teammates. I had one roommate. He was from Bosnia. He was 7'1". He would walk up.
Dude, I was expecting you to be like 6'3", bitch. I'm like 6'5", 6'6". Dude, there's chicks that are 6 feet tall doing beach volleyball.
Yeah, I was in the back row. I was like a defensive player. So like volleyball junkies, I was libero in college. I was outside hitter in high school, so I could actually play in the front row in New York because no one was really that good. But college, I had to go play libero in the back row. But I was thinking about it for a second. I'm like, I don't know who's listening to this podcast saying I'm 6'3". I might just say yes to this question.
Well, dude, did everything come easy to you? Did school come easy? You said 4.0. Photographic memory or smart guy?
if I'm going to do something, I'm going to do it right. So I was in school. I was like, I'm not going to lie. Like I can't do this and not give it my best effort. So I tried my hardest in the classes. It wasn't like I just kind of walked in there and, you know, Mike Rossed it with the law exam and stuff like that. I just went in there. I did my best. I studied. Plus like towards the end when I knew I was dropping out, I'm not going to lie. Like I really grinded for that last 4.0. So I could say that I dropped out with a 4.0. I'm not going to lie. When I knew I was leaving, there was no reason to keep pushing other than for the fact that I could come on here and just say something like that. So,
well, dude, most people that drop out of college, it's because they're like, dude, I realized this shit wasn't for me, man. I was hustling. I was grinding. I was up for that 2.0, that 1.9. You never hear. Yeah, man. You know, 4.0. I gotta say, it was a 4.0. But then I dropped out. I wanted to show the school, hey, a big fuck you. I don't need you. You need me.
And clearly, I wouldn't be surprised if that institution goes out of business over the next decade. I would agree with that statement that they probably do need me and the next student more than I needed them for sure.
But dude, think about it, man. Unless you're like an architect, an accountant, an engineer, like your parents, a doctor, you really don't need college. What the hell can you do with a degree in sociology or, you know, African American studies, Hispanic Americans? There's so basket weaving. There's so much bullshit out there. People get a degree because, you know, follow your passion. Bro, follow what makes you money.
Yeah.
Clearly, right?
Yeah.
The best part is, you know, people that say that, like, yeah, Gary V's wealthy, he can sell friggin' baseball cards because he's Gary V. But dude, there's so many friggin' morons out there opening up like a baseball card store. It's like, dude, you can sell this shit online, man. You don't need a brick and mortar to do this. And it ends badly because shit, dude, as a little kid, I remember everybody thought all these baseball cards that they're mass producing, they're just going to be like big pimping, spending G's just like, you know, on their private jet because they had the 1,000 Ken Griffey Jr. rookie cards.
Dude, you're preaching to the choir, man. Ever since DoorDash, I've made every single dollar from my phone. So I don't know a thing about brick and mortar.
Dude, it took me forever because I thought, and my ex-wife kept on telling me this, like, yeah, we're way smarter. You don't need something tangible, especially times like these. But so many people feel that they need the brick and mortar, feel that they need to go to an office, feel that they need to sell something tangible, whether it's shoes or whatever bullshit. Dude, all that is you have to hustle more because you have to pay Uncle Sam more taxes. You have to pay your local municipalities. You have to pay the electric bill. You have to pay the friggin' landlord. And if the landlord decides he wants to paint the shit, you're getting the assessment. Yeah. While you're drinking fucking pina coladas on the beach somewhere in Bali while you're paying. So,
yeah.
Crypto. So is that you took all that money and that's how you started your own business, your own company?
Well, I mean, yeah, I'm in marketing, so there's not much overhead when you get a new client. It's just kind of like once you start the marketing is when you actually have to, you know, pay. I've always been like direct sales and everything has came from referrals. So there was never really any overhead to the business. I honestly, when I started my own agency, when I was in college, I had no money. It was because like I ran it up when I was like 18, 19, DoorDash, crypto, and then lost everything in terrible investments. Like I was down to zero again when I was in college. So I had to like run it back up and I did my own thing with marketing. It was really boutique. I only had like 10 or 15 clients at the time because like I was in the middle of volleyball season. I was doing well in classes. I tried to have somewhat of a social life while I was in New York City. So it didn't scale that fast, but it kind of just like kept me afloat when I was in school. And then came across the opportunity to merge with EDST. When I was like right thinking about dropping out of college in February 2023, and then that's when I knew I was like, oh yeah, I'm definitely out of here.
Well, we're going to talk about that. Full disclosure, I'm one of Danny's clients. Danny's so fucking good that I sought him out. There was no marketing, there was no ad spend sent finding me. The only thing ever good, dude, Valuetainment working for them, what a piece of shit. Right. Raphael, I'm sure, told you that.
I've definitely heard it a few times.
Yeah, dude. A fucking nightmare. I met great people, young guys too, that, you know, had good head on their shoulders. And my relationship with you. I mean, I guess my time there was so I could become a client. But
yeah, I appreciate that. I don't know how much you mean that was one of the best things that came out of Valuetainment, but I will take it as that you meant it, and I appreciate that, brother. Seriously.
Well, it is, dude. It certainly wasn't working for Pat. Dude, Pat could be sitting right next to me right now, and he wouldn't know that I fucking worked for him for 6 months. Crazy ass shit there. So, you have 1.5 million people following you, or has it
1.7 now? My last video has actually been going viral. Like,
oh, I'm such a piece of shit. I'm so sorry, dude, for undercutting you, man. Congratulations. Now, how did you get such a knack at marketing, man?
Well, dude, I mean, Instagram's literally the easiest algorithm to crack. Like, you have your TikToks, your YouTubes, your Facebooks, your Snapchats, your LinkedIn, your X, your Threads. They all focus, at least the video ones in short form, they focus a lot on retention time. So like it's difficult to market and get somebody to watch the entire video. Instagram's the easiest platform to market because Instagram doesn't judge a post based off retention. It judges a post based off how well it does within the first 2 hours every time you post. So like if you post, we can drive traffic from our networks into the post within the first 2 hours. So that Instagram goes, wow, this is a really good post. Let's show it to more people. So now all of a sudden you're on the explore page, you're ranking at the top of the hashtags you're using, you're ranking at the top of the locations you're tagging, you're popping up as suggested posts on other people's feeds that don't even follow you. And if you do well enough, you might become a suggested profile under like a celebrities, which has happened to me. That's how I went from 1.1 million to 1.5 in August. I was a suggested profile under David Dobrik's account and I'd went up 400,000 followers in a matter of weeks. It was crazy.
Clearly, you didn't learn this in college, though. Dude,
no, I did pick it up in cultural anthropology. That was where I learned it.
Cultural anthropology?
Yeah, that's where I learned it, was in college. That's why I stayed there.
Holy shit, dude.
I'm totally kidding.
Okay, I was going to say, you almost had, I took that class 30 years ago, dude. There's no way. It's usually taught by some foreign guy that can't even speak English.
Bingo.
I understand, man.
It was.
Everybody was dropping out of my class. It was some Indian guy, your grad student or whatever. And it was like me and like seven people left, man. I mean, after that, I could pretty much like, you know, communicate with somebody from Bombay or go to 7-Eleven or Dunkin' Donuts afterwards. So, no, was this trial and error or this you just like learned this somewhere?
Well, dude, I've been posting videos online since I was like 14. Like I had a, you're familiar with Dude Perfect, like the trick shot guys?
Yeah, but you make it look like I've been doing this forever. Dude, that was 7 years ago, man. For me to say 14, that was like fucking like 1988 or something like that, man.
Well, I mean, to be fair, like 7 years in social media, like that's well over half of its existence. Like Instagram, I think, was founded in 2009. No one really started using it till 2011. So it's like half of its existence. But I was 14 years old, like making trick shot videos at my house, like posting them on YouTube. That's actually the video that's ended up like doing really well. I found a video of me saying like my goal is to post every single day in 2017, like Happy New Year. It was like New Year's 2016, 2017. And then it like cut to a couple of clips from right now. That's a video that's up to 600,000 views right now, over 100,000 likes, which is like really, really good ratio, which I'm really happy with. And it's been continuously growing. So, but it was kind of just like, all right, like what's a repeatable strategy? Because you can literally subscribe to newsletters for every single platform and they'll update you like twice a week with what's changing with the algorithm. It's all like, you want to focus on getting shares now. Oh, you want to focus on getting saves on this post. And like, even as somebody who does this all the time, like I've already put out 21 pieces of content today. Even as someone that literally does this full time for myself and for other people, that gets to be a lot where it's like two updates per week. Are you freaking kidding me? Like what's staying the same across the board? So like the one thing that I'd seen stay the same across the board, especially for Instagram, was just that 2 hour window where like Instagram's judging your post based off how well it does within the first 2 hours. You get good engagement within the first 2 hours, you do well. So now it's like, a real combination of, can we make good content that people actually like, and can we finagle the algorithm a little bit to actually give us a chance to be shown to people? So we can finagle the algorithm for even the worst posts, but you'll only get that initial boost and you'll only be shown to the first batch of people. If you get to that first batch of people and it's actual good content and that batch of people is engaging with it, they're saving it, they're sharing it, they're putting on their stories, you'll get shown to a bigger group of people. And if that group does well with your content, you get shown to an even bigger group, and so on and so on. And then you have a viral video. So if you can find that sweet spot of like marketing it properly and actually having good content, it's dangerous and pretty easy to grow, honestly.
Dude, you make it sound like, oh, while there's people out there shaking their ass, getting hit in the balls, doing whatever, friggin' like starting their car on fire, doing whatever to go viral. And you make it sound like, well, you know, from 1 million followers to 1.5 million, I just had to tweak this.
Yeah, well, I did send in that bio like a week and a half ago. It was at 1.5, but it's honestly not as hard as people make it out to be. I think a lot of people fall into the fallacy that it is hard, just as an example and a reason for them not to actually get started, because the hardest video to make is the first one. The hardest button to press is the record button for the first time, and the next hardest one is to click the post button. So once you get past that initial hump, it's literally just kind of like self-correcting. As long as each video gets better and better than the last one and you learn from it, like, dude, I've invested thousands, pretty tens of thousands of dollars on like courses on how to make your content better, how to make your editing better, how to market on Instagram. Like, I'm actively investing into myself too. And like, I use the same exact services that I sell for a living, that I built the agency off of for my own page at a bigger extreme than probably anybody else, just to make sure that my posts get out there too. So,
dude, you said the number one thing to start, to throw that out there, to post that video, and to do it on a consistent basis. In order to be decent at something, you have to do it over and over and over again. You know, people, I mean, shit, dude, if you listen to my first like 12, 15 episodes of even this podcast, people would say you could do a drinking game, because I would always say, and all that, and all that, and all that, and all that, dude. Or, oh my gosh, your videos, that's from getting a degree in mass communications, motherfucker. That was back in the 90s, man. No, man, it's I stuttered, you know, hemming and hawing and doing all that. And what happens is, yeah, you suck, but it's like riding a bike. It's like being dude, I sucked the first year of being in business. You just have to consistently do the work, and believe it or not, nobody's going to friggin' judge you based on a fucking stupid post. You know what I mean? It wasn't like they're like, you know, Danny's 14 years old and somebody's like, have you seen Danny's post?
He That's kind of how mistake. It was. Oh, dude, I got bullied in high school.
And look at it now, man. You know, those people that bullied you, they peaked, dude. They're working at Circle K. They're
freaking, that is so real. Like, that there's a person that comes to mind that legitimately works at Circle K. I'm not even joking. Like, you said, no, that
dude, it's karma, man. The chicks that were super hot in high school, you're too young now, man. In a few years, you're gonna be like, holy shit, are you 60? And she's like, no, I'm 30. It there's people that peak in high school, man. It's like the law of nature, you know. They get all the puss, the dudes, but then it dries out because, you know, women wisen up and they're like, yeah, the guy pumps gas for a living. You know, I'm not going to go out with him. But back, you know, when you're 16, 17, you could give a shit.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think I feel like women bring so many men down. There's so many great kings in history that got down because of the women. I haven't figured it out yet. I'm under the theory right now. This is the new theory that I've been operating off of with women, is that I'm 21, and any of the younger audience that's listening right now, like men that want to be something of themselves, like you want to really make something good. If you really visualize like your dream wife, like your dream female, odds are no matter how good you're doing from ages 21 to 28 or 18 to 28, there's no way you could pull her right now. So the objective is not to go after and try and chase and try and find your dream woman, but the objective would be to just max out yourself, like become a 99 overall man. And then, you know, when you're 32, 33, like maybe you'll have a chance at pulling her too. And then you start to like, that's really how you get it. But that's me operating under this.
Dude, you could be the love doctor, man. Hey. Holy smokes. Not only the marketing genius, but Danny, dude, you have a sound mind, man. You're pretty mature. Cause believe it or not, at your age, I was finishing up college. I graduated before I hit 22. And then I was like a severe fuck up for, I graduate. I left the degree. It's collecting dust. I worked for one job as a journalist, pays like shit, and then went into sales. But all the money that I was making, man, it went to friggin' weed. It went to chicks. It went to trips. It went to trips to impress chicks. Stupid shit, man. I didn't wisen up for years, but you're right. People chase because we live in scarcity. What you're talking about too, when you chase is because you don't see who you become. You see, you're not seeing yourself as that 14-year-old kid anymore. But a lot of times we see ourselves as the fuck up or whatever. I was a super introvert. Dude, I went out with a chick, you know, divorced. She was like my neighbor. And I was like, oh my God, she's just amazing. She's amazing because it took me forever to ask her out because fear of rejection. And it was like, you know, looking back at it now, it's like, fuck, chick peaked, you know, and what, you know, the chick dumped me and told she wanted me to get like a friggin' job at Uber. Didn't want me like, exactly.
It's the least attractive thing possible. Someone that doesn't support you.
Yeah, dude. Or like telling me who was I to write a book, man. But in all reality, it was because I was chasing the past, and you're right. So when somebody's like, hey, let me pop bottles, let me show this chick what I have. No, man, you don't have to impress anybody. You know, it's like
that's what you're
focus.
The ones you do impress doing stuff like that, like that's not your queen. Like if someone's getting impressed by popping bottles and, you know, big fancy cars and stuff, like that's not your queen. That it's just not, because you get impressed by the next guy that does that too.
Danny, what happens is in any business, unless you're Warren Buffett, there's an ebb and flow. And there's an ebb and flow when it comes to cash flow. If you're with a chick that's with you only because, you know, you're able to pop bottles right now and you know, you have the fucking Gucci kicks and the whole nine yards, the moment you hit a little turbulence and you're like, hey, honey, maybe like in a month or so, it's like click.
Done.
She ghosted you, dude. But that's because you went after that. And then, you know, we blame the chick when we should just be blaming ourselves for chasing something that, you know, you're not that, you know, sad person. You're not that bullied person. You're not that person. I'm not that person that's fearful of rejection. Dude, I've been rejected now hundreds of thousands of times, but at one time I was so fearful of hearing the word no, you know, and
sure.
It's crazy, man. But it's like what you said, you have to start, you have to be consistent. What you said it best, you know, post that video, you know, nobody's going to look like Grant Cardone. One, we don't have, you know, we're not Anthony Robbins. The world doesn't need any of that. We don't have the studio. We don't have the production. We're not actors. But if you're promoting something, we all have something to promote. There's no need to friggin', you know, oh, I need to do the 100th take because I stumbled. Who cares? The world needs to see people stumble anyways, man. Post away. You know, you need people to know what you sell. You need people to want to buy your services. And we're all selling something.
100%. And I mean, I think people think that they're way better than they actually are. And the videos, when they first start posting them, are a big like telltale that they aren't as good as they think they are. And, like one of the biggest things that I live by, I'd heard this first when I was 18, is everything starts with two words. The change starts with two words. My fault. So many people just want to point fingers and blame everybody but themselves. But the second you take the finger from this to this, it makes it a different game because now it's up to you to change the circumstances around you. That's why I've ended up in places that take me away from people. Like, I don't like to hang out with that many people. If people aren't on the same timing as me, if they're not supporting me, if they can't look at that video and give me constructive criticism as opposed to like chirping and making fun of me, like we can't be friends. There's no room for that. If you want to really like level up quickly, you know, there's no room for people to bring you down.
Well, dude, that people are afraid to post or they'll quit posting because somebody took a shot. And you know what? Nobody that's more successful than you will ever take a shot. It's always some asshole that lives in his parents' basement that's taking a shot at you.
Yeah, dude, I could pull up one of my recent YouTube shorts. I got 7 comments on it, and they all say, you're gay, you're gay, you're gay, you're gay, you're gay. And I'm like, look at these profiles. These like 15-year-old kids with like poofy hair and big glasses. I'm like, you're going to think I'm going to let this guy get to me?
Well, man, dude,
if the video wasn't that good, I look back at it, there's probably some things I could have fixed from that. Maybe this guy was right. Maybe Edgar, the 15-year-old guy with poofy hair and big thick glasses, like maybe he was right. Maybe I did look gay in that video. Like maybe I should fix some things, you know?
Well, you don't look gay, man. I'd tell you if you did.
But a lot of times, man, and you know what? I keep all comments. Somebody wants to take a shot at me, so be it. You know, I've heard worse from people that I thought loved me. I've heard worse from people that have left me. You think some fucking person that I don't know is going to bring me down? It's mindset, because you have to laugh about it. You know, I'm taking a dude. My life time is so valuable. It's not like I scroll on social media. I'm like, let's see who I can take a shot at.
Exactly. What kind of person does it take to actually do that? You got to think of the thought process. You're scrolling on social media. Oh, let me tell this guy he's gay. Like, what are you doing,
man? Yeah, dude. Okay, so I can use social media. I can go on YouTube and find ways to make more money, make myself a better person, or I'm just going to randomly scroll and take shots at people and try to bring them down. And I'm the big alpha male for like 2 seconds.
Dude, it's like, dog, I've generated over $1 million from just Instagram sales. Only Instagram. And people will go on there and drop hate comments and think it's a fulfilling day. Like, you can use the app for better, my guy. Like, coming from me.
Or, oh my gosh, Danny, you're such a fucking scammer. I'm sure you've heard that too, man.
Like, when people don't want to believe this stuff, is that I don't get the scammer one as much, because I don't ever flaunt online. Like, the car I drive is a car I bought for $1,000 when I was 15. It's a 2010 Chevy Cobalt. It's got 160,000 miles on it. I drove it all the way down to Florida. Like, I don't need to spend money on stuff like that, and I don't flaunt anything, because quite frankly, like, I don't buy a lot of stuff to flaunt. I don't really buy anything to flaunt. I think if I had bought a really nice car, or if I like post that I'm in like a really nice house or ran designer and stuff, I think that's when you get like the scammer type of comments. I stay very humble with myself, because I just don't think I need that kind of stuff. It never scratched an itch for me. So I don't get a lot.
You just reinvest.
Oh yeah, dude. The
into biggest not only yourself or into assets that produce more money for you.
Yeah, my two biggest investments right now each month are crypto, which is like sizably the biggest one, and my personal brand. So the marketing, the editing, like the recording of the content. Like, for example, I'm going to Colombia next week to meet another client, and I'm bringing a videographer with me and paying for his flight, paying for all his food, like making sure he doesn't have to pay for anything, and then paying him a little bit on top of that. That's an amazing investment for me, because the hardest part about going and traveling and wanting to document it is having to like the burden of having to film yourself and having the camera. So if I can spend a couple $1,000 to bring this kid that's also in South Florida over to Colombia with me and just have the camera in my face the whole time, we can do some intentional content, we can do some riffing. Like, to me, that's a great use of a couple $1,000s. When in reality, I could use that couple $1,000s a month and put a down payment on a McLaren and pay $2,400 a month to drive that around and post it on Instagram. But I'd
appreciating asset.
Exactly. I'd rather level up my brand. I'm all about the brand, dude. Look, I come on this podcast as a billboard. This is the outfit every single day.
Dude, I tell people all the time, promote yourself and promote your friends. Promote small businesses. Dude, anybody can go to friggin' Nobu. Anybody can go to STK Steakhouse. Anybody can go down to Brickell or Manhattan. Anybody can go anywhere. It's called credit cards.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, hey, I'm at the Wynn Casino. The best part is like everybody you see with their Vegas stuff, it's always like the Wynn, or it's like Caesar's Palace, Bellagio. You never see anybody wearing like the other fucking casinos, but they seem to be full. You know?
Yeah. 100%. I'm actually banned from Caesar.
Bro, everybody wants to stage their life to make it look like they're a baller. Hashtag balling. Hashtag winning. You know, it's like you said it best. Winning is when you're reinvesting that money. Dude, when you're old, nobody's going to give a shit that you have a Lambo. In fact, you can't even get your friggin' ass inside that Lambo because it's so low when you're old, man. In the grand scheme of things, you know, when you're dying, you're not going to be like, please bring me my keys to the Lambo and to the keys to my hot tub and everything else. And can you show me the pictures of all the times I was spending G's?
Yeah. No, it's about the people that are surrounding you at that moment.
Dude, and you know what? You're taking a videographer. There's two people that are going to get a lot out of that trip. You, and you're going to show that videographer. The possibilities are endless. The possibilities are real. If you dream big, if you think big, if you work at big, things can happen.
100%. The biggest thing is you have to actually believe in yourself. Everyone's like, oh, believe in yourself, believe in yourself. Everyone's like, oh, I believe in myself. But once you actually believe in yourself, there's nothing you can't do. I think most people just don't have the evidence behind them that they work very hard and that they're a trustworthy person and that they can trust themselves in order to believe in themselves. They don't do any of the things necessary to believe in themselves, so they don't believe in themselves. When in reality, if they woke up at 6 every day, hit the gym, worked on their business, ate good, like read at night, did all of the right things, over a decently low time horizon, you'd believe in yourself because you know that you put in the work every single day. So the people that are in college, like fucking off all of their money, like smoking a bunch of blunts, like playing Fortnite while they're there, of course they're not going to be the ones that end up dropping out and taking that risk because they don't believe in themselves. If you're, you know, building your business, you have something going for you, you have something to leave and actually end up doing, like, yeah, you can take those risks, but you gotta put the inputs in first and actually work in order to truly believe in yourself.
Dude, as long as you believe in yourself, you don't need any cheerleaders. You don't need anybody telling you to go for it, man. Because a person that has confidence, a person that believes in themselves, a person that knows that they will be successful, will find success. Dude, I'm not a smart guy. Yeah, I found it multiple times. You're young as hell. Dude. The possibilities are out there, but you have to believe in it. But you have to have the courage. People need to have balls, man. And I'm not talking about the type that you put on a truck, you know, and you swing away. No, man. You have to have the courage and you have to have the belief. Dude, I'm stubborn, man. I can't stop. Yeah. You know, am I where I want to be with everything? No. But why am I going to quit? And I'm stubborn. I don't care who says it's not going to happen. I've never heard from anybody way more successful than me. It's always some fucking idiot that's never even had their own dreams, that has never even dreamt themselves, but yet they're telling me not to believe in myself and not to believe in me.
It's because they didn't believe in them.
Well, Danny, talk to us about marketing. You did that, but talk to us, how do we find you? And more important, yeah, dude. Speak it.
Dude, 100%.
Existence, man.
Yeah, for everyone that's listening on the audio of the podcast, I just puffed my shirt out that says at coolness on there, just how it sounds, COOLNESS. You can find me on there on Instagram. If you shoot me a DM, I answer them quickly. I sit on Instagram all day. It's how I operate my whole businesses. And honestly, probably the best to take advice from someone that's sitting on the app 16 hours a day and using it for the best purposes. So I'd be excited to work with anybody. I love working with new entrepreneurs, new businesses, helping them get their business off the ground. And even in terms of like content, editing, consulting, stuff like that, like we've taken brands from 0 to 100 really quickly, and not just with the numbers, but with the visuals too, whether it's editing, any kind of stuff like that. So I'd be really excited to talk to anybody that's listening.
Danny is good at marketing. Danny can help you promote enough of paying just for ads that go nowhere, enough of paying for coupons, but people still do this, man. I can't believe it, man. I get that shit in the mail. Nobody looks at those coupons. They throw it in the trash. You said it best. What you're doing is you're saving the most valuable resource. And it's not money, because money is printable. It's time. You're condensing time, man. So the website's what?
EDST.com.
EDST.com. Danny can get you hooked up. Marketing. Dude, I didn't know you had all those other services.
Oh, dude. I mean, honestly, these services have been around. We've been working with them around the clock. And honestly, man, maybe even off podcast, we can chop it up a little bit and see if that's something that you'd be interested in. But dude, you're already crushing it with the content right now. So I never brought it up just because
Shit, look at that, man. Smoking like, dude, I'm not talking to a 21-year-old, man. I'm talking like someone my age, man. You're a pitching machine, dude. Well, here, EDST.com, at Coolness, he can help you market. He can help you create content. He can do a lot of things. And if you do want that McLaren, if you do want that Lambo, if you keep on posting, if you keep on using these services, he'll get you there. Now, that's a stupid way to spend money, but we all have different lives, different needs, different beliefs. Danny, for somebody that is a true believer, somebody that's confident in themselves, somebody that's gone the distance and keeps on pushing past it, one final question. What words of wisdom do you have for that person that's still on the sideline, that person that's fearful of starting a side hustle, that person that's fearful of taking any action, that fearful of just going out and going for their dreams?
Easy. Don't listen to anybody that has what you don't want to have or that doesn't have what you want to have. In other words, if you want to drive a Ferrari, don't take advice from someone that drives a Prius.
Exactly. Good thing, man. I would never want to go ask anybody that drives a Prius, because usually they're like super anti-capitalist. They're usually super woke. So I'll take that. I'll put 1A. He says don't take advice if you want the Ferrari from a guy that drives a Prius. And I can say this. They don't listen to my fucking podcast anyways. They're not my market. Fucking extreme left people like that anyways. What Danny's trying to tell you is, if you're woke, more than likely you're broke. So don't ask them for any advice, man. Don't ask them who to vote for. Don't ask them for pronouns. Don't ask them for anything like that, bro. Hey, I love you. Dude, thank you for the time. And this man had to reschedule because of me. My kid had senior night last week. So I apologize. But, dude, thank you for redoing it, rebooking. And we created an hour of informative, inspirational, motivational, great content. Brother, thank you.
Omar, love you too, man. Appreciate you having me on here. And I'm about to have these clips edited up, not just for me, but I'll have some clips for you too. I'll send you a Google Drive in like a week.
Oh, look at that, man. Look at that. Always promoting the man. Hey, I love you, Danny. Thank you.
My man, appreciate you. Have a good night. What if your deed were? What if you took action and made it happen and started living inside of your purpose? What if your deed were? Right now you can make the choice to never listen to that negative voice no more. The hardest prison to escape is our own mind. I was trapped inside that prison for a long time. To make it happen, you gotta take action. Just imagine, what if your deed were?